Welcome to Powell the Songs, a look into Powell gatherings in Minnesota, their historical and traditional significance, and the integral role of the drums, the singers, and their songs. And here's your host, Terry Goodsky.
Good morning, KBFT. My name is Terry Goodsky. I'm sitting here today with George Strong. George, could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is George Strong, resident here in Net Lake. Been growing up here since probably about sixth grade, I'd say, or maybe a little before then. 1976 is when we moved up here. And before that, I grew up down in the southwest. My mother's Navajo, and my dad is from Net Lake here. And pretty much grew up everything that I can remember up here in the village, so this is pretty much my home, and I guess, you know, that's pretty much about me. Pretty much went to school here, you know, grew up with everybody that was around, and just kind of, I guess, was here, and still remain to be here, so this is home.
Okay. All right, I see for the last as many years as I can remember, we've had MCs at our Powells, Hank Goodsky, but more recently, you've been kind of the MC at the Powells. Could you tell me your roles and how you got started as, you know, basically being an MC for Boys Fort and Lake Vermilion Powells?
Well, I went to school at UMD, and I was a student president there, and we organized powwows during that time. And this had to have been, I think, 1987 through 92, I believe I was there off and on. Organized powwows, and that's pretty much what I came to consider a skill. And so we went ahead and put together all these powwows, and then I was involved with Nimiwin. I don't know if you remember that gathering that we used to have here, but it was supposed to be the powwow of powwows, the mother of all powwows up here for this region. And it was for a couple of years. I mean, it was a pretty good expo, and I really got interested in organizing events like that. And so when UMD powwow came along, I mean, we always used to go to that when we traveled around, I guess, in my teen years. And then going to school there, we started getting involved in powwow planning and organizing and putting these events together. And eventually what ended up happening is we needed a MC, and I think there was one time that everybody was booked at that time. I can kind of remember some of the names that like Billy Joe Morrison, Hank Goodsky, and I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. But those were pretty much my mentors, you know, kind of coming along in emceeing these events. What I would do is co-MC with them and just sit there and learn and, you know, follow along how they carried a powwow. And then from then on, that one year when we couldn't find anybody, we just basically, they elected me to be the MC, and I was a little nervous at first, but pretty much took it on, and from then on, like I said, I just kind of learned to do that from Billy Joe Morrison, and Hank Goodsky was a good role model too.
Okay, so how does George Strong start his morning?
With a good cup of coffee. That's pretty much how my mornings go. Other than that, pretty much just get ready for the day, just kind of check everything that I need to, you know, like emails and all that kind of happy stuff, text messages, anything that came in through the night or through the evening, and just kind of get my day organized in my head. And then I usually have an hour-long drive to work here, and that basically is my time to kind of sort my thoughts out. And by the time I get to the office here or the radio station, I got a plan of attack and pretty much go about it in that fashion.
All right. Could you tell me a little bit about the history of your history, the way that you learned the history of the drum in the song.
You know, when I first started out with drumming, I mean, I think I was probably 16 years old. You know, we used to go to powwows quite a bit, just as a spectator and as a family growing up. I can always remember, like, even during, I guess, from age, I don't know, as far back as I can remember to growing up down in the Southwest and always being part of these powwows that they hold down there. And of course there's rodeos and carnivals and all this other kind of stuff that goes along with it, and so it's always been there, you know. And I can still remember the melodies of the songs, the campfires, kind of our camping sites, and then just a little bit about some of the carnival activity, playing, I guess, the little midway games or whatever they call them, rodeos. I that's always distinct in my memory, is a lot of rodeos that we used to attend, because my uncles used to ride bronco and bulls. So we would always be in attendance supporting them. And one that sticks out in my mind is Flagstaff. I remember that one was pretty vivid. So getting involved in powwows at that time, I mean, was really something that was kind of, I don't know, what do you want to call it? I knew it was a part of me. And so basically, you know, when I was up here, I didn't really see too much of that happening. We did go to some powwows. I remember some powwows in Duluth, I think at Old Central School. They used to have a gathering down there. And then my dad, he used to have recordings, albums. And I remember there was one called The Songs of the Chippewa, and I think another one that they had on there that he had was it was a Canyon Records recording of Kingbird Singers. And he used to play those records all the time. So it's always been, you know, around. And then I think by the time I was 16 through high school, they would come through, do demonstration. I think it was your dad that used to come through, and he would do a presentation at the school. And of course he'd bring the drum, and that was kind of the first time I ever seen remember a drum being around at that time. And this had to have been like about 1982, maybe 81. And I think Ed was a cultural instructor up here during that time. And so when he'd come to the school, I'd hear that drum, and man, it was just crazy, because the hair on my neck and my, you know, just my hair would stand up. And I always thought that was like really, really weird that, you know, you'd hear a drum sound, and that could affect me. And, you know, I really didn't have any interest in powwows at the time. And I think that was about when I was in 7th and 8th grade or sometime around then. And then later on, being around it a little bit more, and then just kind of following my parents around, we traveled around to all the powwows in the area. I mean, all the way from White Earth on up to Grand Portage, and then sometimes we'd even travel further, like up to White Sands, further up north to Eagle Lake. Yeah, so we'd go travel extensively, at least in the region, going up to Michigan. And so it was a big deal. And at that time I just started traveling, and I think it was I went up to Grand Portage powwow one summer, and it was just after I got done with this academic program over the summer. Went up there, pretty much got kind of involved in it. I got asked to sit on a drum, and so when I went ahead and sat on that drum, just sat there and pounded, you know. And I mean I don't really remember too many details, but just being there and getting on a drum, I mean, it was very inviting. The people that I sang with were family, and so it was something that, you know, once I got involved with them, they kept inviting me to their practices. And so eventually your brother Harvey, he was around, I believe, but I can't remember. It was like after I was 16 17, kind of during that time frame. And he was just a year older than I was, but he was pretty involved with powwows at the time. And so he would always encourage me. We didn't really hang around too much each other, and really didn't know each other that well. Yeah, once we started inviting me, or they started inviting me to their practices, And I remember, I think it was Daryl Kingbird that was staying at their place at the time, and he really, you know, had all the songs, and geez, it was just really nice just to sit down and have a real good practice. And we used to do that quite a bit. And I remember your brother, he was just, you know, just loved it. I mean, that was him, you know, his life and his calling. And so it was really kind of a real cool time. And we traveled all over the place. I mean, we went, you name it, we went there. I mean, Harvey was well traveled, more than me. I think it was school activities was kind of what limited my involvement and, you know, going too far. But basically, we traveled, and his dad was really supportive. You know, he'd take us along, and always was an invite, always was a spot in the car, you know, to go. And he'd always be calling every weekend, you know, hey, we can go up here, hey, we can go here. And man, there wasn't any place that wasn't, you know, off limits. I mean, we traveled. Yeah, it was a pretty cool time. And that was probably from 16 to, I'd say about 17 or 18. It was about 2 years. Real intense. I mean, we traveled all over. Yeah. And so from the drum standpoint, it was, or from the drum standpoint, you know, the history that I got with it, I mean, I don't know if anybody really came across and gave a teaching about it, but I've heard many things, stories. One particular one that I've heard was that it was a gift from our Sioux neighbors, and so in that there was a lot of exchanges, and of course, you know, with, I guess, our people coming into the area and they're getting their calling out to the plains, it was just something that was a little bit of tension, but I believe that, you know, in those early, I guess, dealings with each other, there were some exchanges, and one of those things was the drum. And so that's the story that I've heard as far as the drum goes.
All right. Well, you kind of already talked about your past history of powwows and your how and why you started singing. Do you have any words of people trying to get back into the powwow way of life? How would they go about to do that?
I think it's real simple. It's just show up there and show your interest. You know, I mean, there's a lot of knowledgeable people that are out there. And of course, there's, you know, your different, I guess, segments of people that, you know, practice their way of living. And they're more than happy to, you know, share that with people that share a genuine interest. And I think a part of that is bringing that tobacco along with you and sharing that, you know, using that tobacco and learning how to use it. And, you know, that's pretty much your key to Anishinaabe life you know, using that tobacco. And I think that's the first thing. If you understand that, I think you'll get every piece of knowledge that you know, as long as you're sincere about it and honestly want to understand it and receive gifts from it. I think that's the way to go. So, you know, if there's any knowledge, I would say use your tobacco.
All right. I'd like to thank you, George, for your time and your wisdom. Thanks for keeping it real. Your roles as an MC, and we don't hear any complaints about you. I just wish you'd quit using that DJ Turtle your name on your jacket. But as always, you know, it's fun working with you. And
well,
thank you for your time.
Just a little reflection on today, or at least kind of the way I see things nowadays. I mean, what am I now? 40, about 47. I see kind of a little bit of a gap. I'm not sure how many young people are out there that want to get involved in emceeing these events, but yeah, I mean, I think it's time for some new blood. A lot of times I get tired of hearing my own voice. Kind of the way I see it too is, like, if people are out there recording, I really like to try to minimize, you know, some of the background noise and let the sound of the singers kind of be the main focal point. And so just kind of, I guess, backing up a little bit and just trying to make way for some new blood and really like to encourage a lot of our young people to get involved, especially the ones, I know there's a lot of people that have personalities and have a lot of contacts, and they basically are, so I would encourage a lot of these young people to get involved. And I think that's partly our responsibility too, in inviting them in and making them feel like the circle is the place to be.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I'm out.
Powwow of the Songs is produced by KBFT, Boise Fort Tribal Community Radio, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, online at kbft.org.